enough. I'm not here to promote. I'm here to fight. Undertaker, you're here. I'm here. Let's do this!
Ruin my recording.
All right, ladies and gents and non-binary identifying individuals, welcome to the second episode of the Ring the Bell podcast. This is far, 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 far overdue. I think we've been on hiatus for like, what?
2 months.
2 months? Couple, two, 3 months, because we have a life to live and lead outside of
sometimes.
But we're here today to discuss, as always, the one true sport that is professional wrestling. So I'll start by saying, and sometimes sports entertainment. So allow me to do the honors.
I'm here. You're here. Let's do this.
That's long overdue, ladies and gents. Today is August 31st, 2019, and we are mere hours away from AEW's All Out event at the Sears Center outside of Chicago. Chicago with Jace. We look forward to being there live.
We were there last year.
We were there last year at All In, and now we got some repeat thunder a year later. We're very, very excited for this event. It's a stacked card, loaded card. There's a lot of speculation, a lot of conspiracy theory around some of the happenings and goings-on at this event. We've been hanging out for the past, 2 days? You were in Hoffman State. Hampton Hills. You were in Chicago with Jace. One of those college cities.
So half a point.
Yeah. You were almost there.
Yeah, this is the first time in a year that ITB's been together in the state of Illinois.
In this very fine state of Illinois. Yes. P. Fitz, what are you most... Oh, we didn't even introduce ourselves by our names and our handles. I'm so sorry. P. Fitz, you go first.
This is the one and only. P. Fitz is Robin. Twitter and Instagram, sometimes Snapchat if you're lucky.
Snap if you're lucky. Snap if you're nasty.
You can follow us on Apple Pod if you're listening to any other major podcast. Please like and subscribe. We also have a website called noonegetsover.com that I never update.
Mm-hmm. Noonegetsover.com.
As well as more t-shirts in the works if you haven't seen our.
The website doesn't even go to work. So.
No.
No one gets over. The website. None of this gets over at all. Go ahead, my guy, Kirk.
I am a Kirk Angel. You can find me nowhere.
Just no cells of social media.
No cell. Will not pull over social media. And I'm your host, Jest John. That's J-O-N. I had it before Moxley. You can find me on Twitter at Diffuse Wheezing. That's D-I-F-F-U-S-C Wheezing on the Twitter. And
Twitter.
And, we're just excited to be back together. We're having some drinks, sipping some coffee, being responsible.
Mine's Irish.
I guess I'll speak for myself. We've also got some Ladies Night Rosé on tap as well.
Yeah, a lot of Rosé.
You might hear some shouting in the background. My girlfriend's here. She lives here, so why wouldn't she be here? She is currently watching her Virginia Tech Hokie game, so you might hear some sporadic noise in the background. Not to be alarmed, we have not kidnapped anybody. That is just my girl. She's just hooting and hollering, so that's all it is. But yeah, ladies and gents, we are really excited about this show. I don't even know what I'm most excited about.
Well, I can tell you what I'm most excited for, and I'm going to go right into it. We're not even gonna sell this because we don't sell anything here. No one gets over it. I'm excited for CM Punk not to show up.
Well, you won't be disappointed.
No, I'm most excited for the Adam Page Jericho match.
We literally saw him talking to
Oh, yeah, he's...
Oh, so his prior commitments that he had said yesterday are in Chicago.
Yeah, prior commitments, my ass.
I mean, he's just trying to get into ring shape just to impress, you know, that 8x10.
CM Punk.
He's not gonna go. But, you know, the best match that's on the card is gonna be the Hangman Jericho match.
You think it's gonna be the best match on the card?
Yeah, it's got Jericho.
That's interesting. That's enough rosé for you, my friend.
No, I want to see the ugly title hoisted above.
The title's not that bad. It is not. Oh my god, it's not that bad.
So
it's worse than Chinese food.
I like the colors. Big fan of the silver. I like the TNA inspired look, but I don't like the four plaques or five plaques that it has on it.
I just don't like AEW on every single. And even when it becomes personalized for whoever the title holder is.
Me.
You. I just don't like it's like AEW in the center plate, right? And AEW in the plate adjacent to that. And then AEW again in the plate adjacent to that. So where are you going to put the personal aspects of that title holder? In between two other AEW plates? Like it just...
Exactly.
It looks right. A little tacky to me in that way. But it also looks like the New Japan title. To me, and I think that's what they were shooting for.
Yeah, I think.
Like they're large.
It's got that the big IWGP. Did I say that right?
Yes, yes. It
is. Ha ha ha! Coffee's not hitting me yet. It gave it the feel. It kind of felt like when they were organizing everything, Kenny Omega was going to be the guy. It's not a bad choice.
No.
It's kind of spearheaded. But I think Jericho's a very good choice for first title.
Just trash as Judas himself. I mean, that's...
Yeah, I mean, I get the title, the little nod to Japan, but...
Yeah, it doesn't do it for me. I really think that's going to be the... I think it's going to be a standout match. I think it's going to be the match a lot of people remember, the inaugural champion. But the title's been buried from the beginning, when Bret Hart couldn't find the camera to show it off.
The title looks like Bret Hart.
All right.
I love you, Brett.
So I'm gonna read off the card because I have the card.
Absolutely.
So for those that don't really care about it and are just listening to support us, we appreciate that.
We do appreciate you. You can
fast forward to the end at that point and give us a 5-star review.
Absolutely, 5-star review.
Like and subscribe. But no, so just the card. This is not in the order that the show will be. We have, you know, Jericho versus Hangman Page for the championship. Kenny Omega versus Pac, who is replacing Jon Moxley, who has a bursa infection in his elbow. It was Moxley, right? Not just staff.
Oh, we'll definitely chop that up.
We have the Lucha Brothers.
Yes.
AAA Tag Team Championship.
Seattle. Ah, beautiful. Go ahead.
Versus the Young Bucks. Escala de la Muerte.
Who are they facing?
The Young Bucks.
Nobody. It doesn't matter who they're facing.
Escala de la Muerte.
Yeah, there you go. That one.
That's how you say it.
We have Cody versus Sean Spears, formerly known as...
Ten.
Sean Spears. with Tully Blanchard, this is the executive vice chairman versus the chairman? Or
correct.
The president?
Correct.
Friendly rivalry. We have Best Friends with the Dark Order. Winner gets a buy in the Tag Team Championship Tournament. Janela versus Jimmy Havoc versus Darby Allin.
Beautiful. That's going to be fantastic.
We have Riho versus Hikaru Shida.
Kushida? Did he quit NXT?
Hikaru Shida. We have Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy and Marco Stunt versus SCU. We also have the Women's Casino Battle Royale. The winner received a shot at the inaugural women's title.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be a big thing because they don't have that many women signed to AEW.
They do not. So it's going to be a lot of surprises. We have how many confirmed players do we have thus far?
Britt Baker, Jazz, Sadie Gibbs, Steel Piper, Big Swole, Ariel Monroe, Brandy Rose, Nyla Rose, Ali Yuka Sazaki,
10,
Eva Lisi, and Austin Kong.
That's 12. 12 out of 20. 30. Out of 30? 21.
Is it 21?
No, 21. 21, yeah. 21, right, 12 right. out of 21.
Okay.
And so, just...
My CPS math is right. That leaves nine spots.
Nine spots available. Nine surprises. It could be Lita and Trish. Who knows?
And this is true. This is going to be in the buy-in, so this should be free, right? The buy-in is free to watch.
Free. It's free for us.
I think it's free, yeah. And then we also have Private Party versus Angelico and Jack Evans. This actually might be,
that might be good, yeah.
A match that people are overlooking. I mean, Jack Evans and Angelico are phenomenal. Private Party is phenomenal.
Yes, they're both phenomenal. And Private Party is fresh off of an indie run. Are they holding like two championships, I believe?
I think so.
Tag championships, I think.
Isn't the Angelico and Jack Evans seem kind of put together? Like, the first All In show?
I think they were first put together then, and they've been together ever since.
Yeah,
that's been their angle.
I think they were.
Angelico and Jack Evans. Yeah, they should be great, man. There's some long, tall, speedy dudes. But those motherfuckers can get
Jack
air,
Evans,
man. They
Jack
get
Evans
air.
Jack Evans has been wrestling for like the last 50 years. I'm pretty sure he was back in IWGP versus Hogan. I mean,
good in Japan.
Yeah, he was good in Japan.
Good in Japan.
What are you guys most excited for? I mean, obviously, I'm biased because I'm a Jericho holic.
Yeah, I think I have zero miedo in making this prediction. That Escalera de la Muerte match is going to be fantastic.
Number one.
They had a little pop in here in Chicago a couple days ago at the AAW show. It was fantastic. That was my first time going to one of those shows. It was a very good experience.
Fantastic. Absolutely.
Maybe 200 people in there.
Yep.
Tonight there was 400.
I was saying double. So
for sure.
MJF showed up.
MJF was there.
Great. I cried.
Yep. I think it was MJF's farewell show that last night. I mean, not the day before last, AEW. It was his farewell show against Colt Cabana, his daddy. It was great. It was a very, very exciting show. The Lucha Brothers were a run-in. They were kind of a last-minute addition. They turned a singles tag match into a triple threat.
Elimination style.
And it was great. And for those who didn't see it, I'm not sure it'd be a spoiler at this point, but the Lucha Brothers did not win. They're actually the first to go because Phoenix is wrestling hurt. He is wrestling hurt. I think that's public knowledge now. I think he was injured in a match about a week ago, week and a half ago or so. But that's a further testament to their brilliance and courage that they're still going to do what John Maxley refused to do. So, Mercer or no Mercer?
But to bring it
Cielo
back.
Miedo. All day long.
To bring it back, I'm really excited about that match. I mean, there's a lot of question marks with AEW, mostly because they haven't done it before. So we kind of have to prove themselves, but I'm pretty confident they're going to nail this tag division.
The
Brothers are fantastic. The Bucks obviously are great. It's going to be almost impossible for them to have a bad match.
Mm-hmm.
Throw some ladders in there. What else?
Yeah, this is going to be really, really great. I'm just going to go for it right now. I think the Lucha Brothers are the greatest tag team alive today. I think that's just absolute fact. A lot of people know that New Japan's tag team division is weak and fluttering. WWE has a fantastic tag team division, but it depends on which brand you are on and paying attention to.
WWE has tag.
Exactly. I mean, Vince doesn't really like or appreciate tag teams. Technically, there's three, but I mean, it depends on how you look at it.
I thought all those were just so you could get as many people in the ring at once and see how much of them don't correlate with each other. Isn't that what?
You're hurting me.
I see. Uh-huh. No free plugs. No free plugs.
Roll tag to that.
Swig a beer for the working man.
We will, but seen a bad Lucha Brothers or a bad Young Bucks match. I can't remember the last time I watched a lot more Young Bucks matches than Lucha Brothers, but
if we're being honest about the Bucks are great. The Bucks are absolutely phenomenal. Those guys are fucking megastars. I'm glad that they're in the driver's seat for the tag team division in AEW because they want to make tag team wrestling a main event. They don't want it to be a sideshow or a side act or plan B. They want tag team wrestling to be a planned event. And further to the point, I hope that means they design some really good tag belts that look like they're heavyweight, world, universal, champion, intergalactic, whatever. I want them to make a really good, prominent belt that tag team division could be proud of as far as tag team wrestling goes. As far as a bad match, their match with the Reynolds brothers, the Rhodes brothers, to me, wasn't that great. It wasn't horrible. There was a lot of storytelling in that match, but I mean, and I couldn't do it. You know, I'm not physically in the ring doing it, but they had about 17 botches in that match, which I think is unlike them. I think that's very much unlike them to make mistakes the way they made mistakes in that match against the Reynolds brothers. I don't know if they were trying to wrestle safe or gold dust, or I don't know what the issue was exactly. But they had a lot of just obvious botches in that match. And I was like, what's going on? Why are you guys falling apart like this? You know? Meanwhile, the Lucha Brothers, I've seen in person a lot. And I have not seen the Bucks in person a lot. And I mean, the Lucha Brothers just tear it down. Like, they just destroy. I saw the Triple A match, which was phenomenal. I mean, Triple A.
The what?
Triple A. Triple A. and they're just such a phenomenal team. And they're actual brothers. So it's not just a play on words.
I still didn't realize until this week.
But this show, it can't just be good wrestling.
No.
All in the head, that expectation. Put a one time show in.
No
kind
stories.
Of defying everybody.
No stories.
Defying the critics. So we'll never be able to pull it off. They did. Kudos to them.
I mean,
but now you create a company and you're going big time and you get a TV contract. It's time to step up. It's just not about the wrestling. We need good storytelling. We need incentive to tune in to Wednesday Night Dynamite. Is that what it's,
I think it is. Yeah, I think it is Wednesday Night Dynamite, right?
Yeah. So that's what I'm excited for, mostly for the show, is to see where to see if they could hook me and get me to tune in to actually pay for cable. And then God knows how long.
What's cable?
What? Between 19 what?
No, I think you're right. I think that's what this show is gonna have a lot more of, and I've said it privately to you guys before, and I'll put it out here right now. And you guys are gonna laugh, and I know you will. But I really think that the setup for Moxley not being in the show was one so he can go off, learn a new hold, because he's only good in Japan.
Ooh, hot take.
Ooh, I wanted you to hop in on this. But with that aside, I think that I really think they're really trying to push some buttons with Punk, and the fact that Moxley comes out, it's been public knowledge that he's friends with Punk. It's a big thing to even get Punk to be in the arena at this before their TV deal starts. So him having a infection on his elbow, reminiscent to the infection that was on Punk's elbow that he worked through, it's an easy setup for him to call him out, and that gives them all that legitimacy that those fans that don't remember or don't know this movement that's going on. But they might be able to recognize that big name that's not just Jericho.
There's a movement going on?
There's a movement in wrestling going on, brother.
I refuse.
Both sides of that. But no, you're right, Kirk. I think that the defining moment is that this has to have more story. I think that really threw a notch in this belt, because I think the most interesting story going into this, at least for me, was the Kenny Moxley match. I think
that story
had the biggest thing, and I was excited to see our. By no means is this a knock on Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega is the Omeka of wrestling. If we had this match, like every other Kenny Omega match, you know it's going to be great. But what this could have done, and what it was forming up to be, is that this is the match that makes Omega show us something that we haven't seen before. And like any other Kenny Omega match, you know it's going to be a five-star match. Meltzer's going to love it in Japan. He's going to...
Fuck Meltzer.
He's going to go ahead
I just
ahead
said
and
it
write,
here. No free plugs.
10 columns about it. But this Moxley match just felt different. It felt different because Kenny normally doesn't do matches with a deathmatch specialist. With someone that's so extreme in that faction, in that manner. So,
are we talking about Moxley here? You
yeah.
saying with deathmatch? Okay.
And yeah. I was excited for that.
The only thing
that
killed was his elbow.
So that's gonna be a little wrench in the old washing machine here, you know? It's gonna be rarer than teeth on a hand for them to come in here and show us something that we haven't seen, but I think that they could pull this off.
Pete Fitz's Robin is a man of a thousand words. Just want let me just plug that real quick. He's a man of a thousand phrases. It's ridiculous.
Connecticut podcast. What are you
talking about? That's from down south.
Rarely
okay.
teeth on a hand.
Well, tired of that.
The Moxley thing, I think if Kenny Omega versus Pac, if that is going to be a bona fide match and it's not like a red herring,
yeah.
so to speak, I think that that's a sleeper match and it's going to tear down the house. The two of them together can only be more phenomenal. I can only imagine.
Their styles are so well together matched.
They both have an incredible offensive arsenal at their disposal. They'll probably be whipping out some brand new stuff or some stuff they've been tinkering with in their minds.
A half-wing angel
or something. I wonder if they've been in the ring together, kind of going over their story a little bit. If they're going to be together, that's going to be a bona fide match. Speaking of Moxley, I love John Moxley. I like everything he's done. I like his exit from WWE. I'm fine with that. You know, I feel like there's room for both AEW and WWE in the world in your fanship. That match with Joey Janela, to me,
yeah,
wasn't that good, man. And my thing is you whip out thumbtacks and all this other. You whip out all of these different tools in this whole other arsenal of things in the match that's supposed to be, I would assume, a death hardcore match. Death match.
A style that both of them have
that
regularly
both of them,
said it in the public that this is what they do. This is their stick.
And to me, they didn't deliver. I mean, yeah, I'm just some shit critic, I guess, whatever, but this is just my opinion.
No,
putting it out there, just putting it into the ether. I didn't think that match was that good. The work rate was fine, but where are the blood and guts? Where is the perceived death? I mean, you barely touched the thumbtacks. The thumbtacks were on his feet from an atomic drop. That's weak sauce. That's not a death match. A death match is. There was nothing impressive about the table spot.
Sure, I get it,
yeah, exactly. Exactly. We're just critics, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, I have taken a couple bumps. I do have...
You have taken bumps.
I do have videos on my...
You do have...
My social media of me going through tables.
My man here has definitely taken some actual bumps. I have not. Not in that way. Not purposefully. I've taken some bumps, but not
sober,
purposefully.
Not sober, at least.
Not sober. It's just that alleged death style match style was not delivered. That unsanctioned match...
That's what it was, an unsanctioned... Yeah, which I hate the name.
And which also didn't even play the angle right, because they said, hey, this is not an AEW sanctioned match at all. These guys signed a separate contract. We didn't see a separate contract signing anywhere, right?
We didn't see any of that.
We didn't see any of that. And then the ring still had AEW most everywhere. I think they took AEW off the curtain, but the ring mat still had AEW on it. I mean, if you don't want your name on it, you got to black out the ring. You got to black out everything. You gotta change the lighting in the arena. Hide the crowd.
CEO match, that's what that was.
CEO match, maybe, yeah, sure. But it's just like you gotta block all of that out. You can't have any advertisements, can't have any.
What that match should have been.
If you were gonna be legit about that.
This is us catching up on 2-3 months of us not talking about
it. Yeah, a couple, two, 3 months of not talking about
it. What that match should have been is clear. They should have been inside a steel cage.
Correct.
And they should have had just random bouts of weapons in there, or in a Hell in a Cell type match. Where you're physically in this environment that is only going to promote violence.
Correct.
Innovators of violence. And I agree. I don't know if that was some nerves on Moxley's part. I can't speak for him. But coming back into that environment after being gone for 10 years.
Oh, yeah. That's
probably a lot of people probably don't want to just jump right into that. And I don't blame them. But
they just wrestled very safe. And it was supposed to be a not safe match.
Exactly.
And more to the point, you know who just did that better? NXT Toronto. Colin Gargano.
Yes.
They lowered a cage that was decorated with weapons. All kendo sticks.
Exactly.
Chains. Chairs. All over the place. Ladder in the corner. I mean, that should have been a death match.
Exactly.
Like, that's the way it's supposed to look. And they didn't present that for a quote-unquote unsanctioned match with AEW. They just didn't present that. And you don't get points for not delivering, in my mind. You don't get points. But I appreciate their work rate. I appreciate their effort.
Do you think Moxley takes a bump at all tonight?
I would hope Moxley takes a bump. I would hope that he makes an appearance, at least. Because it would be great. I love him. I think he's a great dude. I love him. I've seen his previous work. I just don't think he's there yet. He's not back to being Moxley. He's not.
Just still John Good.
At this point, yeah.
Still Renee Young.
It's still Jonathan Good.
Well, the flip side of it to the entire rant that you just went on about more great match or not being up to expectations. Sure. But it did build Moxley's character. Even just the notion of having an unsanctioned match and having this type of introducing this type of match and violence into the company gives the fans something to look forward to. You know, here, and you're still removing that Dean Ambrose stain from you. Stain's a strong word.
I mean, there was a lot of great Dean moments.
Sure, but it's Renaissance.
The cleansing.
You're that popular and that well known. It's important to do a lot of these things and kind of be seen as that rebel. And that's why it was a big deal that he was in the company, because everyone was excited about it. It's a big bummer that he's not going to be here. So regardless if that match didn't meet you nerds' expectations or whatnot, I definitely appreciate the tone of the set.
As you guys can hear, Kirk is clearly a shill. So
I don't know what that word means, so I'm going to take it as disrespect.
It's like, super kick to the face.
I think you're right. And like I said before, and we'll roll tide to that, brother.
Roll tide, cheers. We're gonna be here for the working, man. Clearly.
That was more for Connie. Little comrade there. No, but I think that was, like I said before, that was the most interesting storyline. I think that Moxley bringing something that Janela, quote unquote, is supposed to be doing to AEW with that big, you know, name recognition, that was gonna bring something out. And I hope tonight, if at the very least, this match between him and Pac, it's gotta go to a Broadway.
Ooh,
it's
gonna love it.
It's a musical.
there can't be a clear winner. They both have to have either disqualification or someone is incapable to continue the match.
I would love that.
Moxley has to be the reason why, and it has to be Kenny that has to forfeit the match.
Okay.
I don't want
storytelling right there, guys.
Because then now this match that we all wanted to see, that we were building to, didn't just kind of get washed away and postponed. We still can build from it.
Yes.
And if you're listening to this, Matt and Cody, feel free to use my advice here, because I'm the best damn booker you've ever seen. All right?
I'm the best damn booker you've never seen.
You may not be able to see me in the crowd because I'm really, really can't see over those 6 foot tall guys in the front, which is why I hate sitting floor side. But let me tell you, you can hear us. You can hear our TV. You can hear us ring those bells. I didn't mean to get a little angry at you guys. You guys are doing a great job.
King bookers, for sure.
But yeah. I'm going to be excited for... I am excited for the next 20 minutes to get to the show.
Oh yeah.
We don't ever plan these things out, just so you guys know.
We will soon.
Pack it up in a nice bag.
Shine it up real good. Turn that sub bitch sideways.
And download it right onto your phone.
And download it right onto your phone.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, Matthew Riddle, yay or nay?
one of the last real tuners?
We're not going to have that discussion again. We're not going to have that discussion again. You know, the real discussion we should be having is about the king of attitude, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
We're going to be at the Madison Square Garden show at the Raw, and I believe that speculations have been rumored, and rumored innuendo has that The Rock is going to be at the SmackDown show.
Maybe they'll be sharing sushi with each other.
And what I hear, what I hear is that this might be
sushi.
No
one gets over except sushi.
Except sushi.
Good sushi.
Good sushi.
Not Chinese store sushi.
Not Chinese store sushi. Good sushi.
The rumor has it that this might actually be a draft night where they're going to redraft Raw, SmackDown, and NXT for the upcoming September Fox show, the NXT USA show, and then obviously Trash Ass Raw.
Come on.
And the commissioners are probably going to be, from what I'm reading, Raw will be Stone Cold, SmackDown will be Rock, Triple H will be NXT.
I was just going to ask who's going to be NXT, and Triple H makes an
Triple
obvious
H slash Shawn Michaels.
Okay, that's an obvious
I love Austin to death.
He needs to go away from WWE.
I do not want to see him.
No, only for the draft.
Only for the night, right?
Yeah, we're talking only for the night. Okay. And the reason why is also that I'm reading, and this is from unreliable sources like always, and Wikipedia.
Meltzer?
that was Wikipedia, but that's all right.
The note my mom left.
I called up Steve Williams, and he told me...
Somebody Jack?
the rumor is that Vince is freaking out because...
Message boards.
The 4chan page. The Madison Square Garden shows have not sold out yet, and this is no surprise. I don't think that Raw or SmackDown could sell out Madison Square Garden alone. I don't think they
could. NXT can. Maybe not anymore. It could have before it went on USA.
Exactly. So this is Vince's last attempt to really win back his territory that we were at last year for SuperCard, and what a phenomenal experience. It was our first time at
Absolutely. The only thing that ruined it was Enzo Amore.
Yeah.
Which it
was very odd that it happened within 10 minutes of Brett.
Oh, yeah. I think it was actually a half hour of Brett. Exactly.
The man who screwed himself.
That's another conversation. That's an entire series of podcast episodes.
Just us shooting on Brett.
Just shooting on Brett and Owen and the whole thing.
Let me in. All right. Well, we hope you guys join in to watch the show. And if you don't, I'm sure in about 6 months we'll do another review of this show.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, unfortunately, at this time, we have to depart. There are many, many, many more episodes to come.
At least two.
Yeah,
at least two more.
At least a couple, two,
we
three.
We need to make some money back on the equipment we bought. So
yeah, we need to make some money back.
Please like, hit that subscribe button.
We need to get some sponsors here.
Yes.
We need some sponsors here.
Have you guys ever heard of Chewing Blue?
Chewblue.org.
Chewblue.org. You know, Chew World Order is what we are here in this group here.
Chew Meanies
and Chew World Order.
You know, there's a promo code out there. It might be something like Rassle or... Maybe a couple letters are different. Maybe 82 weeks, I think.
Yeah.
There's some weird ones out there, but if we highly, highly, highly recommend it. This has been RTV and Ring the Bell. And like I said,
this has been a long-awaited podcast, episode 2 of RTV Ring the Bell Crew, where no one gets over. We'll try another one tomorrow.
Half of one tomorrow.
Consider this the pre-show.
To our next six-hour-long podcast,
where we will have a lot of infighting and feuding amongst ourselves about certain topics like, was The Rock one of the greatest heels of all time? does anyone really care that much about Hulk Hogan anymore? Razor Ramon, who?
Wait, what?
See, and it already has begun. It's already begun. X-Pac was better.
Let us know what you guys want to hear.
Let us know what you guys want to hear too.
You can go on to our fabulously built website at noonegetsover.com.
noonegetsover.com.
Snap me at
chublu.org for Kirk Angel.
/gov/Shane.
And we will try to accommodate all your questions that you send in, and maybe even make up some to sound like we're a lot better than we actually are.
Absolutely.
But that's how it goes. You know, when you heal for life, you just got to
heal
gotta roll
for
with
life.
The punch.
Heal, but chew, blue, crew.
Check in again. Enjoy the show. We'll be there. And I think it's about time that we got to head out the door.
So
I don't know about
Fitz,
you.
You got to plug your handle so people can reach out to you.
Oh, P. Fitz is Robin. We also have ring_the_bell on Instagram for the Instagram. Hit us up on the gram. You can DM me anytime.
Anytime I will respond. Don't you worry. The chew is on deck.
with that said, I mean, like, we're ready to go.
You can hit me up. I am Jess John. I am he who stiffens his neck. I am Jess John. At
should we plug the
Diffuse
now?
Wheezing on Twitter. That's D-I-F-F-U-S-E Wheezing. D-I-F-F-U-S-E Wheezing on the Twitter. Definitely hit me up there. Connect with me. You can talk. You can bullshit. You can message me. You can leave commentary, whatever. And we're open. We're open to suggestions. We're open to questions. We're open to comments. We're open to whatever you have for us.
If you want to be on the pod, we can entertain that.
We can entertain that too.
You have some entertainment.
Absolutely. Some sports entertain.
Yeah, you need some sports to entertain.
Some sports to entertain.
And not like that Charlotte shit.
Not like that Charlotte shit. From the one true sport that is professional wrestling. I think that's it, guys.
I mean, I don't know about you.
Ladies, gents, non-binaries, whatever.
We.
Golf is pretty good.
I'm here.
You're here. Let's do this. Ladies and gentlemen, non-binary individuals, RTB Podcast is doing a live from All Out right now, main event. Right now, main event, RTB, ring the bell. Your boy, Jess John, D-I-F-F-U-S-C, Wheezing, right now. I want to bring up a couple of points from the crowd, from the live audience. You say Jericho for sure.
For sure. Jericho's got to win. He's got to be the face of the company when it launches on TV on October 2nd. And there's a better story to be had in Hangman chasing Jericho during the first couple of months of television.
What about the idea, and this is just my idea as Jess John, D-I-F-F-U-S-C, at Diffuse Wheezing on Twitter. What about neither of them?
It could always happen. This is AEW. We're used to big returns and big possibilities. But my money's on Jericho tonight to win.
Money's on Jericho. Oh, my God. Right now, live in the audience, Hangman Page on a fucking horse. On a literal fucking horse. And it looks gorgeous. That's a gorgeous horse with a man with T-Rex arms. That's a man with T-Rex arms. His body's larger than his arms. I just gotta say it. His arms are smaller than the rest of his body. He's on a literal horse. So you think this guy go to Hangman Page all day long? The face? Still doing it. Look at him. There he goes.
Wow.
I feel like Jericho is too old to carry this title. That's what I feel like.
I kind of agree with you. He's a little bit too old. But I still think there's more to be had, more money, more eyes, more television to be had in the chase here.
The chase, he's right about that. I agree, folks. The chase is worth a lot. It's worth a lot, a hell of a lot.
I got to tell you, though, just looking at him tonight, Hangman looks ready. He looks jacked. He looks ready to go. He looks like he could definitely
look
kick.
Like that knee's affecting him either.
No, not at all.
So he's not selling the knee right now?
Doesn't look like it.
He's not selling the knee at all right now, right? Okay, we'll see. What do you think about Jericho's finisher? Is it trash?
It's garbage. It's garbage.
Thank God. This is my guy right here. Jericho's finisher is trash. Absolute trash. His defense is Robin. Pieces Robin with us right now. What do you think about Jericho's finisher by itself? Jericho's finisher.
The Judas effect?
The Judas effect.
So it's trash as Judas himself. It's a backstabbing finisher. It makes him look weak. Just like Judas looked weak.
Ooh! Judas was weak. That's a biblical context for you.
Who stiffens his neck.
Who do you think should take this match tonight?
Oh, Jericho. 1,000%.
Why Jericho? Why Jericho?
The Ayatollah of rock and roller. The lion tamer. The one and only Y2J. The Judas of the industry. The one who backstabbed the biggest man in the industry to come to a company to lead us to the new haven, the new area of wrestling, an unforeseen territory that only Jericho can guide this ship. And we're gonna sail away in Jericho land because he is the greatest sports entertainer and professional wrestler of all time.
Sports entertain. Sports entertain. Amen. Is Jericho. That should be a t-shirt. Sports entertain is Jericho. However, AEW is trying to be professional wrestling. That's a debate in and of itself. In and of itself, this is Just John live at AEW's All Out event in Hoffman Estates, Collar City of Chicago, Illinois, DIFFUSC, Wheezing on the Twitter. Thank you for joining us live at this event. We're about to watch this match, and I shall not record it live while we're watching it. I just want to get some crowd reaction, some fan reaction, some visceral muscle reaction from what we feel in this arena. Listen to this crowd right now. Listen to this crowd.
Thank you, Jericho. It's your main event of the evening.
Look at that beautiful belt. You can see it from here. It sparkles and dazzles.
To determine the first ever All Elite Wrestling World Champion.
Cha! Do you hear the fever? Do you hear the impact? Do you hear the immediacy?
Jericho!
Y2J himself. Again.
Cowboy shit.
Again, this is RTB Ring the Bell Podcast. I'm here.
You're here.
Let's do this. Ring the bell!
Ring it, ref!
Ring the bell!
Jericho, you need a boot job!
Woo! Hey, WWE,
it's a cool job in prison, man.
You don't feel salty as hell, because that belt is...
Just in time, fellas.
Look at that magnificent belt.
Ring the bell!
There she goes.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, right. Daddy Wright. Daddy Wright. Daddy Wright. Shiny Daddy Wright.
We all get a turn.
Ring it! R-T-B. All right, ladies and gents, it's your boy, John. You know where to find me, D-I-F-F-U-S-C, Wheezing, on the Twitter. Just want to issue a little disclaimer. we have a special conversation, if you will, after AEW's All Out. We're gonna call it the All Out Fallout. Your boys, RTB, were a little intoxicated, a little inebriated, and we were trying to recover before we went home for the evening. And yeah, man, we just decided to sit at a table and chop it up over some food and some more beer. And it was a pretty fun time. AEW's All Out event was pretty good. We definitely enjoyed ourselves. But yeah, I just wanted to give you guys a quick disclaimer that this part of the episode is chopped and screwed. It's edited. Everything wasn't usable. All the audio wasn't usable. So I kind of pinned it together, stitched it together the best I could. But again, this is a chopped and screwed edition of our post AEW All Out conversation. I hope you guys enjoy, man. And just remember, I'm here, you're here. Let's do this. RTB is live and in effect at the Boiler Room discussing what is downhill for WWE versus what is the trajectory of AEW. We're live, we're in effect, we're here, we're live, we're now. Go, arguments. Arguments, gentlemen.
I told you, it's viewership. Viewership went down for their core audience.
Why is that? Why did viewership go down?
Because they're lazy booking. There's no difference between the product. It's stale. There's no real stories. It's
viewership. Viewership is down across all platforms on all media because nobody has care.
Bingo, number one. Everyone's unplugging.
Now, if
number
we're
one.
About interest in the product. You got people bitching and moaning. That doesn't mean your interest is down. The same people that are bitching and moaning are hovering all over podcasts, they're on the YouTube clips, they're consuming more wrestling than anyone's ever consumed. So when we talk about WWE going down the WWE route, making those mistakes, what mistake? They're the empire, they're the monopoly.
The machine's already been built. The machine already once died before. The machine's not close to dying anytime soon.
It never will.
It never can. It really can't. There's nothing in the foreseeable future in the next 20 years that's going to stop WWE or make it die. Unless they outlaw sports entertainment. But with that said, AEW can't do the WWE route. They don't have the backing that WWE has.
I disagree with that.
Not money-wise. They don't have the backing in a core audience that is dedicated not just from these two official shows that they ran. A viewership that's going to bring in more money than they've already seen. Because the money they've seen can't support their habit.
This isn't a money thing. AEW is supposed to be a money thing. This is we're the wrestling alternative.
Yep.
True wrestling revolution for the fans.
Pro wrestling, right? Period. Versus sports entertainment.
So you don't, like I said, the whole conversation started about having Jericho on weekly television or having title defenses on your main title. It shouldn't happen on weekly television. Well, when was the most...
I agree with that.
When was the best time in wrestling? Was the Monday Night War, arguably. And a little bit after.
Arguably, yeah.
For our generation.
we're speaking for our time. We're not speaking for the 80s, 70s, the golden era. And why was it so entertaining? Because you never knew what was going to happen. What do we know now? The title's not going to change, especially on a weekly show, on a pay-per-view revenue company. Because they need to sell out the pay-per-view.
Who does?
AEW.
Yes, they do.
They have to.
They do.
Yeah, they do. I'm not talking about WWE does, because they have the network. So them doing AEW formulating the same way that WWE does right now will never work. That's when the change happened in WWE, between seeing the title all the time defended and having mid-card and lower card just buried. Because the network came, and now you only had to pay $10 a month.
$9.99,
sir.
$9.99 a month to watch your favorite person on pay-per-view.
Thank you so much.
Can we get a slice of the purist?
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Can I attack one thing? Maybe two things right quick? Just real quick, real quick, real quick. Real quick, I'll be over. Number one.
You'll never be over, first of all.
No one.
But I'll be over. Number one, I think we need to attack the myth. And I think everyone who's a wrestling observer needs to attack the myth.
That's no free plugs.
No free plugs.
That's not a plug.
Everyone who's a wrestling observer, who absorbs the content, who watches wrestling, who's a fan of professional wrestling, one true sport, we need to abandon this idea of the casual fan, the casual viewer. We have to capture the casual fan, the casual viewer, the person that's going to buy WrestleMania once a year. Fuck those people, if they are even real. Because
that model doesn't even exist.
That model doesn't exist. I'm going
to
tell you why.
You need to buy it.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. The reason why I suggest that model does exist, or back it up. The argument for that, for the casual viewer, the casual fan, is the same argument being weaponized, utilized for Chris Jericho. What's Chris Jericho? He's a household name. People know him. He might be familiar to XYZ. And the people we were sitting next to, the adults I was sitting next to in the room, I said, he might be familiar to some, but he's not The Rock. I got to digress. He's not The Rock. He's great.
Don't say
Fozzie's whatever.
You can't say that to Pete Fitz. Over.
We can't say it to Pete Fitz. But I'm just saying, if you want to talk about the casual viewer, you want to talk about Ronda Rousey and The Rock, you know? But Chris Jericho, he's still very niche.
Who's not available?
Having the title in AEW for that very reason, to me, is fallible. Because hardcore fans are watching AEW. AEW's marketing for hardcore fans. The casual fan, if they actually exist, don't know the fucking difference between sports entertainment and professional wrestling. Casual fan viewership bullshit. That's number one. That's number one. My number two point is, I sat next to children at this show who could have been older than 11 years old, and they fucking knew everything. Smart fucking marks to the next level. Those kids, I'm afraid, might have some Reddit accounts. Like, those kids knew everything. They knew rest holds.
They know Lars.
They know Lars. They knew all the moves. They knew the history. You're 11 years old. How do you know my history? I'm 31. What the fuck? You weren't even alive. So I want to attack two things, just myth bust two fucking things. The casual viewer and the fact that kids are only kids. And they don't know, what they don't.
They know
Bray. They know horror shit. They know scary shit. The things that wrestling offers adults, the children fucking know if they are fans of the product. The children fucking know. We need to mystify this bullshit. The PG era is long dead, if you ask me. Long dead. The marketing era is here. And they want to market to kids. But kids know a fucking lot because of the internet. They're born with the phone in their hands. Two kids. They knew everything.
No, they did.
Everything
they did.
Tonight.
But the fact
they were calling the spots.
The fact of the matter is, you can't.
They were calling botches.
the reason,
like left and right, they were great.
The reason why you, that you would want to entrust Jericho to be your first champion, besides, like you said, if you're gonna bust that myth, another thing is a PR point. You have someone that's already been in this level of spotlight that you want your company to be in some way or form, that can, one, talk to the press, can get other backers, because at the end of the day, wrestling is entertaining to us, but the viewership that's going down, huh?
Cracker Barrel
runs AEW.
Oh, yeah. Tim Horton.
All those Canadians.
Denny's.
But that's the thing. So you have a guy that's been on top in another that has been at the highest level out of everyone that's been there, because he's the only one that's been there.
That's true.
He's the only one that's ever held
that's
a
true.
WWE World title.
He has the clout, period. This is his clout. So, he has the fucking clout.
So
he's bonafide.
Now, here's another thing. As a booker, right? Who are you going to put as to level your entire company?
Kenny Omega.
And Omega, everyone gravitated to Omega, saying this is the hottest thing since sliced bread. He's the toothiest hen of all the hens.
Cody made Ring of Honor important. Okay? One, he has the skills to elevate other people into his position, which we've seen Kenny may or may not be able to do. Some people he can, a lot of people he can't.
But he's marketable as fuck.
To us.
Period.
He's not.
He is.
Jericho.
He's bisexual, allegedly. Or gay. Either. He's marketable as fuck. Speaks, what, 3-4 languages?
Three?
He's marketable as fuck.
No.
And Canadian.
He doesn't like talking. He's not
sure,
that person.
Sure.
Now, if it was anyone else, it's not sustainable.
So what would Kenny have to do to be the title holder?
It has to be a year. He can't touch that picture for a year. He has
Kenny.
No Hangman, no Cody. Who do we got?
Could have been
Orange
Cody.
Cassidy.
And Moxley.
Could have been Cody or Moxley. Cody or Moxley easily.
But then what does that show? What does that
Moxley
show?
Moxley can't even wash his elbow.
There you
correctly.
Go. But then you put Moxley right.
They would have had the fucking numbers.
You
could
catch
but
my,
they didn't.
You could catch no. my but boy here. At justwrong underscore doesn't know what he's
viewer.
Talking about dot org backslash government.
The cash goes to
I think too, the only other person that could have possibly have taken that moniker.
Where's our pizza?
I don't know.